Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans 12. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought, Romans 12 in Daniel chapter 3. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this evening, Lord, and I sure need your help. Lord, I need your touch. You know, Lord, what I need, and you know what these people need, Father. And I just want to be obedient to you, Lord, and preach what you want me to preach. Lord, I want to help your people, Father. That's the desire in my heart. Now, Lord, I pray for a while you'd give liberty. Let me say everything you'd want me to say. I pray, Father, if there's one lost, although, Lord, this might not be a salvation message, Lord, there's been enough gospel preaching and singing tonight to prick a heart. And I pray, Father, Lord, if they're lost, I pray, Lord, they'd see their need of salvation, call upon the Lord Jesus, get saved. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight. Lord, we just need to live that Romans 12 in 1 and 2 life. So, Lord God, I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask it. Amen. You can be seated. I'm sitting over there thinking there. I know where the message, the outline goes, and I was thinking as they singing that, man, really? I mean, ever just been preaching Brother Allen and then thinking of service, Lord, this really what you want? Well, that's where I was. He reminded me just sitting right over there. Let's look back in verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now notice this right here. Which is your reasonable service. If we really believe what them ladies just sung, and that God died for our sin, and we didn't earn nothing, we've got nothing to boast in, and whether you believe that or not, that's the truth. Somebody say amen. And you believe that the Lord, just because how great thy Father's love is for you, that he loved the world, and he sent his only begotten Son. If you really believe that, there ought to be something in your heart that's reasonable to live for God. Amen. There ought to be something that in our heart that says, you know what? I should be on my way to hell. I ought to be in back, my back broke, calling out for mercy and getting no answer and just dying and burning forever. But God. I mean, friend, that we ought to have something in us that want to do right. And I know I'm on a Friday night, Brother Lloyd, and I know on a Friday night you're not going to get the folks out necessarily that's playing Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Brother Jonathan, I'd say this for the most part would be the core of the church, the ones that are faithful in and out. But can I say every now and then, Brother Heath, we just need to be reminded. There's been times in my life I've got my eyes off Calvary. I've got my eyes off what God's done for me. And I've got, you know, woe is me. And I've got bitter, but listen, it's reasonable, just reasonable that I live away for God. Amen. And I want you to look here. That Bible said that I present my body. In other words, to place beside or near, to set at hand. And it said to be a living sacrifice. So I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice. Now, listen to me just a minute. Back in those old days when we've been dealing with the altar all week, I feel like I've been preaching around the altar, but man, they killed those things. They put them up there. You know what? That animal's dead. It had no choice in the matter. Once they cut that thing's throat and the blood come away and the heart quit pumping, that animal ain't getting up. But the Lord said to be a living sacrifice. They know they used to have meat hooks on those altars. They'd put those animals in order and take those meat hooks and hook them in the altar so they wouldn't fall off. But friend, that's not what God says to us. We're supposed to get up every day of our life and make a choice, a conscious choice. And today I'm going to live a holy, acceptable life that's reasonable because what God has already done in my life. I mean, it's not always easy. And I'm going to get through a message in a minute. I'm really trying to get the nerves out of me, but it's not always easy. I mean, there's been times that I remember sitting here in 2020, man, when COVID hit, and I remember our pastor, Lord, we was here then, man. Those was hard times, and you didn't know what decision to make. Nobody wrote a manual on how to pastor through COVID, and man, he'd come, Brother Heath, and he'd say, I just don't know what we're going to do, and I'm just going to pray. And those was hard times, but we're still called to be faithful, and thank God that he was. There's been times in my life personally, and it seemed like I just don't know what God's doing, and man, things didn't go where I want them to, but you know what? I was supposed to get up that next day. I was supposed to have a pep in my step. I was supposed to present myself to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. It's every day we're supposed to do this. Now, I want you to see here that in verse 2, the Bible said this, is what it said in Romans. I'm going to get to Daniel 3 in a minute. Look at verse 2. And it said, be not conformed to this world. And how are we going to do that? Look here. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I say something to you tonight? That means every morning when we get up, you have to make your mind up of what you're going to do. And can I help you just a moment? Now, I'm going to preach in a minute, but can I help you in a moment? I'm going to deal with these three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, and then I even look at Daniel himself. They purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat, but that decision was not made on their way to Babylon, friend. That was made well before they come. That was made well before trials happened. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Listen, it would do you real good just to make a decision today, and I'm going to serve God. I mean, come high water or not. Come problems or not, whether it's glory or whatever it may be, just make a decision. I'm going to give my body as a living sacrifice for the Lord. It'll pay off, friend. You say, I don't see that's nowhere in being transformed by the renewing of your mind, being changed. But can I say the way you think about things will change it? If you'll get in the Word of God and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God change your mind, you'll be all right. You'll see things different. You say, but I don't see it in Daniel chapter 3. Let's flip back over just a minute. In Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 28, this is Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all know the story. I'm going to get to it in a minute, but y'all know the story. Man, Nebuchadnezzar, he set up this great image, and he said, everybody, when you hear these instruments play, you're going to bow down and worship. Brother Heath, you know how it is. They said, not us, hoss. Right? That's the Wilkes County version, all right? They said, not us, hoss. Ain't going that way. And they were over there, and they wouldn't kneel down. Here come the tattletales. Listen to them, there's always some tattletales. They run back to the king and say, look, these Hebrew boys, they ain't kneeling. King comes over and said, boys, if you'll kneel now, it'll be all right. They say, no, look up in here, hoss, I ain't kneeling. He said, heat the furnace up, we're going to throw you in it. Y'all know the story how it goes. When it all goes, God delivers them, you get it. But here, looking in verse number 28, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says at the end of this. He said this. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him and have changed the king's word. Now notice this. And yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Old Nebuchadnezzar said? Them boys presented themselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was their reasonable service. Hey, they yielded their body. In other words, listen, if you kill me, you kill me. But I made my stand. This morning, I want you to see this evening's cue. I want you to see the placement of these boys. They're in Babylon. I mean, you find out in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the very last word, in the province of Babylon. Now, friend, this is, man, a picture of this evil world system. It is really everything that we say we represent, Pastor. It's the 180 from it. It's the opposite. Man, we represent the Lord. That represents Satan, friend. It's evil. It's the ways of the world. It's the things of the world. And we're supposed to be the other. We're things of faith. We're things of God. And this is a place that they've been placed. And I say to you tonight, Christian, I believe if we ain't careful, we'll forget we're called to separation, not isolation. I think many times we believe we can just hide ourselves from sin. Friend, that ain't what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, in John 17, in verses 14 and 15, the Lord himself prays, and I pray not that you take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. In other words, keep them from the evil one. You say, what are you trying to say? The Lord himself said, hey, that keep them folks where they're at. Hey, can I say we're not called to isolate? And I hope I don't make nobody mad, Pastor, and you set me down if you want to. But we got a lot of independent fundamentals. Real super religious crowd. They've isolated themselves from everybody. They don't know what a sinner looks like because they're too good to be around those sinners. Somebody say amen. They ain't knocking on doors. It's beneath them. They can't go out and see nobody. It's beneath them. Listen, we're not called to be isolated, but we're called to separation unto the gospel of Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. Your separation's got a lot more to do with what you're separated unto and what you're separated from. If you'll be set, that's what Paul said, I'm a preacher of the gospel, separate unto the gospel of Christ. Can I say something to you, friend? If you realize that you've placed in this world for a purpose, you'll find some help right there. I see the placement, friend. I see the persecution. Here it is in verse number 8, man. Here come, wherefore the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now listen, these folks wasn't doing anything nobody else. Now listen to me. What does it hurt, Brother Lloyd, what was it going to hurt if them three boys did not bow down and everybody else did? It wasn't bothering them, was it? It ain't bothering them at all. Can I say we live in a society, it ain't no different in Babylon. I'm all right. I'm telling you, I'm about to preach. Listen, we in a society, and it's what they say. Let us sodomites, let us alone. Let us live how we want to do. We ain't hurting nobody. We ain't bothering nobody. Yet all they want to do is pour their doctrine into our schools and our kids and our family. But you let the Christian just go to church on a Sunday morning. You let the Christian just show up on a Sunday morning. Hey, friend, they've always got problems with the man of God. I remember in 2020, I told my boss, you don't give me that call, friend. You can just fire me. People calling in wanting churches to shut down because the governor said he couldn't have church. Look up in here, friend. Hey, you still got the right to assemble. You got the right to religion. I wasn't shutting her down, amen. I don't care what nobody said. I serve God a lot more than I do a chief. Somebody say amen. I wasn't going to do it, friend. And you say, why? That's just persecution. They won't shut the honky-tonk down. They ain't shut the riots down. They ain't shut the drunks down. ABC stores wide open. Oh, but they're going to go after God's people. It's going to be persecution. But you still, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Even with persecution. I see, friend, there's a plea of the enemy. Now, he's done laid down the law about what's supposed to happen if you hear those cornets, those flutes. And if you was to hear all that and kneel down. But I want you to look in verse number 15 for me. They've been brought in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, notice what he said. Now, if ye be ready. God said, we said like this in Wilkes County. It's your last chance, hoss. This is it. I've told you, and you ain't going to fall, you ain't going to kneel, but right here it is. This is your last chance, but if you'll do it now, it's going to be all right. You know what that plea is a plea for? It's a plea of compromise. It's exactly what it is. It's a plea just to bow down and bend over and just let the world have their way and not stand for nothing, not do for nothing. That is the plea today. You need to understand something. You say, why didn't Nebuchadnezzar just kill him? I'm going to tell you why Nebuchadnezzar just didn't kill him. Because the devil wants a man to compromise a lot more than he wants a compromiser to die. Let me say what I'm trying to say. Brother Heath, I love you and I can pick on you. But man, Brother Heath, you've got these youngins around here. You've poured into their life over the years. And man, they love you for it. And but can I say, if you was to fall and if you was to compromise, it wouldn't just be your four and no more. But it would bother everyone you've ever poured into. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's the compromise that the devil's trying to get done. It's not that he cared to kill them. He got better benefit if they just bow down. Now, I'm going somewhere. I ain't preaching anything all week. Just give me a minute, okay? It's going to get good here in a minute. But can I tell you something? Listen, this is the crowd that Nebuchadnezzar wants. Flip back with me to chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I want you to look in verse number 3, can we? Just for a moment. Here's the command. And the king spake unto Aphanez, if I said that right, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain, and notice this, there's a certain crowd he's looking for right here. Certain of the children of Israel. That was God's people. Now listen to me, this is important, listen. Not just every one of God's people, because there's some of God's people that's really serious about serving God, and there's some that come on Sunday morning and you never see them again. We okay? Now you ought to say amen, because it's Friday night and you're here, okay? But there's a certain crowd. Look at verse 3. What he said. He said that for the eunuchs that he should bring a certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children of whom there is no, was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as has the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You know what I'm seeing right there? I'm seeing the devil trying to get a hold of the best that God's got. Can I say something to you tonight, church? If you've got a boy, you got a little girl, you got youngins and teenagers, don't you listen to me. That's who he's after. He's after the Friday night crowd revival. He's after their children. He's after their families. Can I say something? Y'all all have been placed in the middle of Babylon. You was born in this world. You must say amen. And man, whether it's your school age youngins or whether it's in public school, if you go to public school or friends around home, whoever knows. But either way, you've got somebody that's looking to you, and they know about your life, and they know where you go to church, and they know what kind of stripe you are, and they know what kind of Christian you say to be, and they know that you're not out on a party on Friday night, but you're in the house of God. Listen, the devil's coming after that crowd. If he can get that crowd to fall. Preachers, listen to me. I think sometimes I myself, Brother Lord, we get too lax. If we ain't careful, man, if a preacher falls, do you realize the amount of destruction that goes with that? I'm telling you, I've sought my own eyes. I've watched it tear families apart. People tore apart. Hey, men of God, listen to me. It is still Paul talking to us. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies. That is still for us, because that's who the devil's coming after. I'm talking about the persecution, but if somebody give you this, I see the position. Now, we're about to pick up, okay? Ben's about to pick up. We all right? Look over in verse 16. Look over in verse 16. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here's the position they took. I ain't doing it. I ain't falling. I ain't moving. I ain't going. I'm sticking with what I know's right. It might cost me dearly. It might be hurting me dearly. It might cost me my life. But listen, I'd rather die than compromise. I'd rather die off the scene and go on to glory and to bow down to some heathen god and not give my own God what he needs and be the living sacrifice that's been called unto me. That's what he's saying. As a matter of fact, that word careful, man, many times we think that means anxiety, and it does. But here in this tense, it also means this, no need. Here's what they're saying. Nebuchadnezzar, you ain't got no more need to even talk to us about this. It's just blowing hot air at this part. My decision was made up in Daniel 1, and my decision was made up in Daniel 2, and now I'm in Daniel 3, and my mind ain't changed. I'm still serving God. I'm going to go on for God, and no matter what you do, I ain't bowing knee, friend. That's what he's saying, the position. Now you say, preacher, that brought them a whole lot of trouble. Yes, it did. Preacher, I just don't know that that's what I want. Preacher, that ain't the life I think I want to lead. Well, you know what? You do you. Can I say something, brother pastor? I say something to you, pastor. I ain't been in this thing long, but there's been enough in my life. I realize I'd rather have God, and I'd rather be with God. Hey, when everybody else is gone, when everybody else has turned their back, and it's just me and God, I'd rather have that than anything, friend. Anything. Can I say something to you? There's been times, and I believe Miss Megan backed me up on this. Our own family's turned their back on us, and they've turned away from us, and they do things that seem like in spite of us. And you know what, though? Still go to church. Still preaching. She's still there on a Sunday morning. It still gets real good and souls get saved. I get to cry on the altar with people. I get to help them. Lord, listen, it's the best life I've ever lived. Just trying to serve God. Best life. You say, preacher, where's it going to get good at? Right here, don't you see this? Now they're in a bad place. They're in persecution. Their back's against the wall. But can I show you this minute? Because they chose to live a Romans 12, 1 and 2 life in Daniel 3, don't you see something? Don't you see the peace that they got about it? Look at verse number 17 again. Now he's just told them, boys, I'm going to kill you. Look what he said. If it be so. That sounds like they're real worried about it, don't it? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're just shaking in their boots. You say, what are you trying to say? They looked at him and said, look here, Hoss. I told you, I'm done talking about this thing. My mind's made up. You kill me if you want to kill me. My God can save me if he wants. He sounds like Job. Hey, listen, although he slayed me, I'm still going to serve him. Is that all right? Listen to me, friend. They just made up their mind. But you know why? They had peace about it.
Yes, sir.
You say, I don't believe it. The Bible said to keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Friend, you say, I want peace in my life. I want help in my life. Preacher, I'm just out here sometimes and I can't get no help and I can't get no peace. Number one, you need to nail down and make sure you're saved, right? And then if you realize you're saved and undone, can I tell you what number two do? Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, and present your body a living sacrifice. Hey, if you'll do that and put yourself on the altar, there's real peace. You say, I don't understand that. That's because he's doing all the work. And you're just walking with him. I mean, they had peace about this thing. Can I say something, friend? I like what the Bible said about over here in Daniel 25. Look what it said. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Now listen to me. They didn't bow. They didn't do anything. They grabbed up them. He set the mighty men there and picked them boys up and doop, threw them in the furnace. Whew, that seems bad, don't it? Old Nebuchadnezzar gets up there and looks and goes, how many we throw in there, boys? They said, four, king. Threw four of them. Three in there, king. Three. He said, three? There's four of them in there. Now, notice this. They're walking around. Now, I don't want to get crude. I don't want to get out of the way, Brother Allen. But if you see folks that get burnt, they just don't sit there and walk around. I mean, if you see them on fire, they're dropping and they're stopping and they're rolling and they're running and they're getting out of the way and they're screaming and they're hollering. Because that hurts, friend. That's an awful way to go. But can I say, I don't see that right here, Brother Lloyd. They're not screaming. They're not hollering. They're just peacefully taking a brisk right on through the furnace, man. Just walking along. A piece of God's all over them. They're in the middle of the fire. It ain't stopped the trial. It ain't stopped everything yet. But listen to me. Hey, they still got the peace of God. They still right there with them. You know why? Because they've given their bodies to the Lord. There is peace, friend. Peace by just serving God. Many, many, many folks don't have peace because they can't find service. You okay? Let me give you this. I see the peace of God. I see the presence of God. He said that form over in verse 25. He said the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, if your Bible don't say the Son of God, you throw it down, we'll get you a new one, okay? It's not a sons of God. It's not sons of the gods. It is the Son of God. You say, who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, listen, can I preach it to you right here? Here they are saying, if he saves us, he saves. If he don't, that's fine. It's all right. You know what happened there? They turn around, walking around, all of a sudden there's the Lord. right there and sit in the midst. That right, just right there with them, right there where they at, right there in their hard time, right there in their trial, right there in their furnace, friend. There he was. You say you want to get in the presence of God. Can I say something to you, friend? You're going to have to live a life that's clean enough that God can come and get in there with you. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, the Bible said, oh, David, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he shall not hear me. Isaiah said, friend, all that, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God and your sins, if it is faced from you, and he will not hear. It is an important thing to go to Romans 12 and present your body a living sacrifice that the presence of God may be on you. You said, preacher, I just don't know. It's all through the Bible. I mean, the whole temple was laid out. And in the temple, it proves this point. We okay? I mean, there was a brazen altar over here. And friend, listen to me. It was the outer court. And they ain't no shade. I mean, they ain't no covering over here. It's just that altar, a picture of Calvary. And if you was going to get in, there was one entrance in that. It was right there at the brazen altar. Is that right, preacher? And they come right through there. They come by that blazing altar and sacrifice died right there. We talked about them altars last night, man. They'd pluck them birds' heads off. They'd cut them bullocks up. It was a nasty place. I mean, Calvary wasn't pretty. Somebody say amen. But friend, as they was outside, them priests doing that, they'd get hair on them and they'd get blood on them. They'd get entrails on them, things on them from killing them animals. So before they went in right here to the holy place, you know what they had to do? There was a laver set down right here. Had to walk by. They got to water. They picked that water up and washed their hands with it. Now, water for drinking is a picture of the Holy Ghost. But water for cleansing is a picture of the Word of God. Hey, can I say, friend, what they had to do if they was going to get in here and fellowship with God and be in the presence of God, they had to get cleaned up. But when they did, was it not worth it? Now, there was a place over here called Most Holy Place. And boy, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, Bill Jonathan. That's where God met his people. I've been in there. I wish I could tell you I was there tonight, but I've been in there. And listen to me. It's worth every bit of it. When it's just you and God, he shows up. He brings peace to your heart, and you're crying because you're so happy you can't do nothing else, and people think you're crazy because you're crying for 30 seconds and laughing for 30 seconds and shouting for 30 seconds and crying for 30 seconds. You say, man, something wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with me, friend. That's just me and God, all right? And the presence of God in the midst of that. But you have to live a life that allows him to do it. You've got to be Romans 12, 1 and 2, friend. Can I say this? I see the protection of it, but can I move on out here? I see the power in it. Look at verse number 25 again. Verse number 25 again. Bible said there, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have, look at here, have no hurt, have no form, and the form of the fourth, like the Son of God. You find out later, friend, man, they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, when you go into Daniel 3 and verses 20 to 23, you'll find out that they bound them up. They bound their hands up, and they bound their hosen and their coats and their other garments, and they was cast into the fire bound. But they're loose. Did I tell you that there'd be persecution if you decide to live for God? Now, here's the good news. The power of God, listen, it can't stop the message of God if you'll live right. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, here they threw them in there, Brother Allen. Thousands of years later, we're still preaching about it. But even on lay, I see Paul, who wrote Romans 12. You know what they done to Paul? They've beat Paul, stoned Paul. I believe they killed Paul. I believe he went in the third heaven, Lord resurrected him, brought him back. I believe that's what he did. Whether I was in the body, out of the body, I don't know. No, God knoweth. I believe he died. God resurrects him. And you say, what are you trying to say? They can't do anything to Paul. And they can't do anything, these Hebrew boys, that God don't allow in their life. Oh, I tell you what, Doyle Lawson, Quicksilver, you sing that song, nothing can touch me, don't pass through his hand. Now, they got some things wrong, but that's pretty good. Can I say, if the work of the Lord is on your life, if you're living for God, listen to me, there may be hard times come, there may be trouble come, but there's nothing that can come in your life that God don't allow it. God don't let it. God don't help you through it. Or don't give you what you want. Can I say something to you? They beat Paul, got Paul, put Paul in prison. He wrote the prison epistles. Matter of fact, he's sitting in Roman jail. And in Philippians 4, he writes back, and he says, let me just read it to you, can I? Philippians 4 is what he said. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they of Caesar's household. Caesar's household? Yeah. I'm going to tell you what happened. They locked Paul up by the heath, and every time they put somebody in there with him, and they're trying to bind him. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to stop his work. It wasn't Paul that they had a problem with. It wasn't Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego that they had a problem with. It was their stance. It was their message that they needed stopped. But they put him in prison. They locked him up, and every time they brought a Roman soldier by and cuffed him to him, he said, let me tell you about that day I was on the way to Damascus. I was walking down there, and God showed up at blind in me. I said, Lord, who art thou? He took me on, got me down there on Straight Street. He opened my eyes, and I've been working for God ever since. He's just the best life I've ever lived. Let me tell you about Jesus. You say, you believe that? Yeah, because it's right there. Caesar's household. Caesar locks him up. Lord, he's starting the church and the prison ministry. Is that all right? I say something's the power of God on him. I've watched some men, I wonder, how in the world do they do all that they do? You know why? Because you're living a Romans 12 life. And friend, the power of God's on the ministry. And folks can talk about them, folks can beat them down, but look up in here. You can't stop the message for a man who wants to tell somebody about Jesus. If you'll come play, I'm going to hush. I'm going to be quick tonight. But can I say this right here? Here's the purpose of it. I believe sometimes we miss it right here. If you'll let me be honest, I miss it right here, son. More than I'd like to tell you, to be honest. Sometimes we come to church, I won't high miss you. Don't you? I like it when they shout them down. And then I like it like when they sung a while ago, and it wasn't no shouting, but it's real peaceful, but it was thick. You cut it with a butter knife. I just like it all. And sometimes I think to myself, boy, that's real good. I want to live like that because I want to see services like that at my church. Now, I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. This is what I think. And I've been, the Holy Ghost rebuked me before. Lord, I want to live a life. And I want you to show up at Southside. I want them to experience a service like that. But wait a minute. Look at the purpose of this thing. If you're going to verse 27 and verses 29, you can read them verses for a second time. You know what happens? Everybody that come saw what God done. And at the end of this thing, in verse number 29, because that's how it ends, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. When it was all said and done, the purpose of them living the way they was living wasn't for them to get the glory. It wasn't for them to get getting out of the fire. The purpose was that for everybody that didn't believe in God and didn't have the faith to stand for God, they could see that and say, listen, they ain't but one God. They ain't but one that can do like that. Baal ain't done that. Asherah ain't done that. Moloch ain't done that. But there's a man named Jesus that them boys been talking about. And thank God, did you see what he done? He is God, friend. You said, preacher, what is my purpose? What is my purpose for living a separated Christian holy life? You ready? Souls. That's it. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. There ain't nothing wrong building a big church. I'm trying to build a big church. Somebody say amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with getting the best out of what God wants you to get. But we can't get her off the purpose of why we all live where we all live. Why? Souls. Can I say, friend, you say, I want revival. I want my heart to be stirred. Well, you're going to have to make a decision to be renewed and transformed by renewing of your mind. Hey, that you're going to serve God, live for God, work for God, and present yourself a living sacrifice. And no matter what the circumstance brings, if it's real, real good or if it's real, real bad, I'm still going to serve God. And here's the trick. You ready? Serve him because what he did for you and what he can do for others and not what he can do for you. Am I all right, Pastor? People come to church sometimes. They ask me this. They visit. They call. Do you got a youth group? I'm trying to find a church for us. You've missed it. It ain't about what church do for you. What you can do for church. It ain't about it. It's about what you can do for God. He saved you. Let's go back to Romans 12, can we? Let's go back to Romans 12. Look what it says. I beseech you therefore by the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Look here. Which is your reasonable service. He didn't save you to put you on a pew, but he saved you to live a holy life. That revival may take place in your heart, in your house, in your workplace, in your church, and in the hearts of others. This is, Pastor, I'm trying to quit. But this is what they say. The Lord's love and everything. He sure is. But he's chose by preaching. That means telling others about Jesus, what he done in your life. And living a life that don't throw stones. Can I ask you something? Did he not say with a light on a hill? Did he not say that? A light on a hill, look at here, watch this. You look up to it. It's got a standard that you look to. It ain't down there with the world in filth. It's up on a hill. When it rains, the mud don't stay on the hill. It comes off the hill. You look up to it. The next verse in Matthew out there, he said this. He said, if I got a light, man, don't hide under a bushel. You know why? Lights mean to be seen. We're lights. We're not to hide our faith and not to hide our love for God under a bushel. Yet we're supposed to be upon the hill. We're supposed to be living a life that folks can look at us and say, that one's different. There's something different about that one. He loves God. I can tell by the way he talks, by the way he walks, by the what he does. And he loves the Lord. But the light might shine. The purpose of the serving the Lord is the same purpose he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And can I tell you something, friend? If Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego can do that in Daniel chapter 3, about to get through in the fire, we ain't got no excuse. I ought to do better. We all ought to do better. We got no excuse. If they can do it, well, preacher, things is different now. But I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Therefore, your son to Jacob shall not be consumed. Lord Jesus, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Times might have changed, but the God in the fire hadn't changed. He can deliver it today. He can do it today. And here's what I'm preaching tonight. I said all that to get to this point, and I'm done. If you want to come on, Pastor, I'm going to hush. Hey, some of y'all that needs to live a life in front of your family, you think their heart's too hardened, and you think they're impossible, you think God ain't never going to be able to get to them. But if you live a life in front of them, they can watch you handle difficulties, and all the praise go to him, and you keep joy on your lips and a song in your heart, they're going to get tired of living how they're living, and they're going to want a little bit of it. Am I okay? They're going to want a little bit of it. And you all the time telling them, man, God sure is good. Say some of you, you're going to make a decision for the Lord. Friends and family and other folks, what they're going to do, they're going to try to pull you out of church. Uh-uh. You grab a hold of them, you pull them in. And now listen to me. This is hard preaching, but you can, if I'm wrong, set me down. You pull them in. And if they ain't going with you and they all want to do is pull you out, let it go. Because it ain't worth your family. And look at here, teenagers. I'm kind of preaching. Am I okay, Pastor? Listen to me. Let me tell you. Y'all going to get married one day, grow up and get husbands and get wives. Don't you let the devil mess up now the marriage that you ain't even saw yet. Don't let the devil mess up your life now because somebody's trying to pull you away. You're trying to live Romans 12 and 1 and 2. You're trying to do right by God. You're trying to live for God. And they some old snappy-headed youngin don't come by, old red snot-headed boy trying to pull you out. Listen, turn, just let him go. I'm going to church tonight. He says, no, we all go to the barroom. We all go do this. We all go to the movies. Well, listen, look at me, no difference to me. Look up here. No, You go on, I'm going to church. And then just go ahead and delete it and go on. Am I okay? Because I'm telling you something, friend. That's the crowd Satan wants. They want that compromise right there. They want the people that influence the compromise. Don't. Youngins, don't. Boys, don't let some girl pull you out of the house of God. If she won't come to church with you, go on. Can I tell you something? I know we're on the internet, but it's going to be all right. May the 15th, May the 9th, was it May the 9th, Mama, wasn't it? My captain's son was in a car wreck. He lost his life. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know about his soul. They called my captain that day, and we went up the road. And I don't know why they called him from the scene. I wish he wouldn't have had, but he was going. I was going to take it. I didn't want him to wreck. I remember getting there, and that car was sitting there, and, man, he walked up there, and he put that sheet up, and, man, thank God he didn't see anything. And man, I knew what was happening, and we knew something was wrong. I mean, we knew he had passed. And, man, I tried to console him and try to help him, but, man, I never knew about him going to church. Never knew about him reading the Bible. I didn't know about his soul, and I was scared. And, I got to praying, and I got to going, and they wanted me to help get the funeral together. And I called one of the pastors that we were sitting around there. Matter of fact, one night, now don't y'all fall out with me. And if this makes you mad, you just get mad at me and we'll pray about it, all right? But they called me to come to the house one night after the service, Pastor. And I walk in there, and man, there was folks drinking and doing, and I didn't like it a bit. Not one bit, but I walked over and I hugged their neck and talked to them. And we wasn't in there 5 minutes, was we, honey? And we walked in there and we turned back around, and one of them looked at me and said, "Preacher, he's been reading his Bible." I said, "Been reading his Bible?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "He was really reading his Bible last few months before he died." I said, "Huh?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, he'd been going to church with his girlfriend." I said, "No kidding." I called that pastor up getting ready for the service. Now, I don't know him from Adam, and I'll be honest with you, he don't really line up the exact way we line up, but he's a good man. And I called him, and I said, "I want to know about this. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm hard-headed. You know me, Pastor. I want him to talk me to this boy's salvation." Because he said he got saved in there, and I didn't want to hear that he went down the aisle, jumped on 1, 2, 3, and everything was okay. That wasn't going to give me peace. But he told me, he said, "Friend, I was in Bible school, and I got done with a message, and I was about to leave, and all of a sudden he showed up out of my office, and he knocked on my door, and he looked over at me, and I said, 'Reese, what's wrong with you, son?' And he said, 'I'm telling you, something ain't right, preacher.' He said, 'There's something ain't right between me and God, and I need to get saved. I'm going to go to hell.' That sounded like conviction to me." I said, "Check one." And I said, "What'd you tell him?" He said, "I told him if he'd put his faith in Jesus Christ, get saved, that Lord would save him." I said, "Step two, that works." Somebody say amen. And he led him to the Lord right there. Here's what I found out later, talking to his little old sweet girlfriend. She said, "I just told him one day. Mom, am I lying?" She said, "I just told him one day, if he's going to keep dating, he's going to quit doing all that mess and go to church with me." And he said, "I was going to leave him if he didn't go to church." You say it don't make no difference, preacher. It don't make no, I mean, you can't save everybody. You can't do everybody. No, but that one life and that one decision that you make, hey, just to serve God and don't go the way of the world. Listen, my captain's son now is in glory, thank God. And because there's some 15 and 16-year-old girl that said, "Son, I'm not going to date you if you don't go to church with me." I'm telling you, it makes a difference to me, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It makes a difference in people's lives. Listen to me, all down here from 14, 15, 16 on up to 20. Look, it makes a difference. You have an impact on people. And there's a purpose behind living a life that way. It's just souls. It was so good to stand over his casket and preach and know that the boy was saved and in glory. And there was a crowd. Am I okay? I don't know where this come from, but it's really helping me, Pastor. There was a crowd in that church. There was 500-some people at that funeral. And there was a row like this and like this. They was all filled up with 16, 17-year-old boys. I didn't know them from Adam. But they showed up at church. They have called. They lined up in line, and you say, "Why does the CU know I ain't nothing?" But the Lord, because of that girl taking a stand and doing what was right, allowed this man of God to get opportunity to minister in their life and tell them about Jesus. And I found out the other day, hey, there's one got saved and got, hallelujah, got baptized and born again. And by the good grace of God, that's fruit to that little girl's account. Why? Because she chose to do what's right. And just be Romans 12, 1 and 2. Friend, I'm preaching real good if you're hearing me. It makes a difference. You don't know. You drop a puddle in water, it ripples out, and you just don't know how far the ripple's going to go. It's important. Just find out right now. Make a decision right now that from here on out I'm serving God. Good times, bad times, make no difference. Because it's going to make a difference to somebody. Somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to get help. Somebody's going to get saved. And there'll be a life escaping hell one day just because you made a decision to serve God. You say, I don't believe it. You try it. You try it. Every head bowed and every eye closed.